You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. It is a quiet time of the NFL offseason as we transition to minicamp and training camp with a big break in between, but we have a good opportunity to look at where things stand here with the rankings across positions in fantasy football. We've been using the half-point expert consensus rankings, and we've broken down quarterbacks here, running backs, wide receivers. Now it's time to focus on the tight ends. So what we'll do in two shows is look at the underrated tight ends and then come back and look at the overrated tight ends there according to where they stand in the rankings. And these are guys that are a little too rich for my blood when it comes to where they're ranked, where you might draft them, average draft position at this very moment of the offseason. Is still a lot of things are developing, but we are looking at these through the lens of having the offseason pretty much over in terms of personnel moves with the draft and free agency done and what it means for these players. So we're going to look at some good tight end values. We'll look at nine on that positive side and nine that you might need to be wary of having a little bit overvalued reasoning here for 2022. So we'll look at that on the next show. We'll look at the underrated sleepers here on this show, and it starts with some good tight end ones. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Okay, let's look at the rankings here. This guy finished actually as tight end three. The leaders last year were Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce in that order in half-point PPR, so a little bit different from assuming Kelce was going to be the guy, but Mark Andrews really had a big season, scored quite a bit. Probably a career year for Mark Andrews. But this player also was very special last year, Dalton Schultz. Now, he really emerged as a key target here for Dak Prescott. We had low expectations, but a couple developments happened. Michael Gallup was coming off an injury, so you had to worry about that. Amari Cooper was a bit hit or miss with his route running, and CeeDee Lamb, they sometimes forgot to throw to CeeDee Lamb at some points, and they also liked 12 personnel a little bit more with Kellen Moore, and they did go out and get a tight end, so that might steer some people away in Jake Ferguson from Wisconsin, but he's still a developmental guy here. Schultz, I thought, was going to be a primary blocker, but he really showed something as a receiver out of Stanford. Stanford has a good pedigree here, and we'll talk about another guy from Stanford next, but looking at Schultz here, and they were able to move Amari Cooper because of the ability to keep Schultz as an active target. They brought him back on the franchise tag, so they realized his value was important to move Amari Cooper. Again, Michael Gallup is still going to be a deep threat outside for this team as he comes back. CeeDee Lamb is going to be the go-to guy, whether he's lining up outside or inside. He's got very good route versatility here. But Schultz is definitely right there with them as a key target in the top three. It's not like they rely heavily on Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard here. And look, they're still building the back end of their receiving core. So there's some things there to look at. But Schultz falls into that top three category, which is a sweet spot for tight ends in terms of fantasy football value. Is he going to be one of the top three targets on his team? Is he going to get ahead of that third receiver? And definitely in Dallas, he would say that. All the things that happened this offseason would point that Schultz is vital to what they want to do offensively. And again, Ferguson addition is more that you'll have 12 personnel, so maybe even less responsibility with Schultz blocking here. Ferguson is a pretty good all-around tight end. They have high hopes for him. They like what he can do. Schultz, contingency plan, I would say, if things don't work out with the contract. But Ferguson is going to be more of a supporting player. That's really going to help Schultz's value as well. So I think he's ranked pretty low at number 8 in half-point PPR. He finished third. So I don't see a 5-spot drop-off from him from what he did last year. I think touchdowns are a little bit up and down with tight ends in general. So you can't really weigh things with that because they are very fickle here because it just comes down to the opportunities and when they get open in those key scoring moments over others. But you figure Schultz is going to be busy in the red zone. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is not a big touchdown scorer. Gallup a little bit more big play dependent. And playing off the running game, Schultz should be effective. So I think the Cowboys have their new Jason Witten. Witten was not a big touchdown scorer for much of his career, but he did have his moments. So still was very productive as a tight end one in fantasy. So Schultz is kind of in that really nice spot here in Dallas. All right, the next guy that's a sleeper based on where he's ranked is Zach Ertz. He's down at number 9. Last year, this might surprise you, but Zach Ertz, between his time in Philadelphia and Arizona, and really a lot of his production came with the Cardinals that really spiked up because he was sharing time with Dallas Goedert. Remember, the Cardinals got him because Max Williams went on the shelf. Williams is off to a pretty good start there in their offense. So Zach Ertz gets re-signed. You still have Max Williams in the mix, but we know the other factors here. DeAndre Hopkins is suspended early. Marquise Hollywood Brown is trying to rekindle his relationship and rapport with Kyler Murray is a downfield target. A.J. Green was very hit or miss, had a few good games last year, but getting a little bit older, slowing down. So you figure Zach Ertz is still going to be a big part of what they do here with Cliff Kingsbury. And there was a reason they brought back again Ertz and Williams, and then they went out and also got some depth there in Trey McBride. So really a lot there. That's why we were a little bit cool on DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green, not that interested. I think there's going to be a lot of big play opportunities for Marquise Brown, but setting that up is going to be more the short to intermediate game, playing off the running game, throwing to the tight end still. I don't think that's going to disappear as a factor from the Cardinals passing game. So I don't know if Ertz should drop all the way to 9. I think he's a little bit better valued there. He has a good argument to finish in the top half of tight ends. He didn't really slow down all that much. We thought he was pretty much done, but he just needed that change of scene away from Dallas Goedert so he could break free as the tight end again. And he's going to share times, but I could see Max Williams fading a little bit as more of his backup and helping McBride as they make that transition, while Ertz, I still think, has one more good year of value here for the Cardinals. Finally, the next guy we'll look at is Cole Kmet in the tight end 1 range. He's actually ranked 13th, which is a bit aggressive already, but think about the Bears. I mean, you have Darnell Mooney. Then it drops off to Byron Pringle as your next best option in the passing game. Not a lot there. You have a young quarterback in Justin Fields learning a new offense again. Cole Kmet, if you just looked at his numbers in terms of receptions and targets and yards, he is a pretty good tight end. But the biggest thing that led to Cole Kmet not having fantasy football value is not scoring. He somehow managed to stay out of the end zone. And you had Jimmy Graham also being a factor there. Not a big scoring offense in general that the Bears were last year, but you look at the transition to a Packers-style offense. We know Robert Tonyan, a little bit of foreshadowing there, that Robert Tonyan had a key role scoring touchdowns. So the touchdowns are bound to come for Kmet with that type of volume, especially because they need to rely upon him more without Allen Robinson, with Graham out of the picture here. So Cole Kmet's going to get his opportunities here. Definitely in a 13-12, however you look at it, he's a borderline tight end 1, make him a pretty surefire tight end 1. There's some guys that I would not want to take earlier and take a shot at Kmet there at his ADP and ranking right there at the borderline of tight end 1 and tight end 2. We will get into the rest of the tight end sleepers. I got 6 more to talk about on today's show. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. Before we dive into all that, imagine dipping your finger into that plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that was only 150 calories and packed with 16 grams of protein. That is what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I just received my birthday cake puffs just last week, and I've never had anything like this before. They're available right now, and we can't promise they will be there tomorrow. So go get them today at Built.com. I might even be getting a couple extra boxes myself. If you haven't tried the puffs, I'll let you in on a little secret, because that's what friends do. A chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right. You heard me. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. Make every day your birthday. Mine was in March. Yours might be coming up here around the corner, but why wait when you can get Built's birthday cake puffs? I've taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake enrobed in 100% white chocolate, and of course, they've added sprinkles. With 150 calories, 16 grams protein, and only 9 grams sugar, this limited-time flavor is an amazing option if you're looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. All Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they're made with collagen protein with your body able to absorb that more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits. Go to Built.com and get those birthday cake puffs. Now, I'm so excited. You got to get there and get your birthday cake puffs before they're all gone. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, time to dive into three more tight end sleepers in this segment as we break away from the tight end one ranked guys in the top 12 in that area. If you extend to deeper leagues, this guy falls in that category, is Hunter Henry. Now, Hunter Henry, people will look at the touchdowns, and look, touchdowns, again, up and down. He was a big-time scorer last year with Mac Jones, but I think he could have done a little bit more in terms of yardage and catches, so that can bump up a little bit, even if there's a little bit of touchdown regression. But Hunter Henry is built to be a good scorer in the red zone. I mean, he plays off the run well. He's an excellent blocker when needed, and again, they're going to throw the ball and use play action quite a bit as a what they do because the Patriots are so good at running the ball in deep. So that's always going to be an option. It's been an option for a while. Even without Josh McDaniels now as their offensive coordinator, you go back to like Christian Fourier days and the fake plays to Mike Vrabel and Scott Chandler. Remember him in 1 year? This is a staple of their offense, is that they're going to throw to the tight ends in the red zone playing off the run. So Hunter Henry and Mac Jones have great chemistry. I don't think their wide receiver core is all that more spectacular here with Devontae Parker in the mix with Jacoby Myers and Nelson Agholor and N'Keal Harry. I don't think it's really that special. You also have Kendrick Bourne, who is a bit of hit or miss with his scoring. So you look at Hunter Henry, he's going to have a key role, continue to do so. And maybe this offense is actually more tailored to his tight end skills here as well in 2022. Now, this is an interesting fact here that a lot of people may not have noticed, but Noah Fant actually finished as a tight end 12 in half-point PR. So he was the last guy on the board. So who's his replacement in Denver? It's Albert Okwuegbunam. He's rated now 15th in the rankings, so pretty aggressive, you'd say. But, again, you had a borderline tight end 1 last year coming out of this offense. Now, it's a little bit different. We know it's not the same offense now. They're also incorporating the Packers' principles here, but what does that mean? Good scoring opportunities, much like Kmet in Chicago. Okwuegbunam should have a good opportunity here to put some scores up there, and he was rather good when Noah Fant was not available. Now, the biggest question is, how is he going to fit this offense with Russell Wilson? And people have been looking too much at Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I mean, I don't think they're reliable right now. Tim Patrick might be their best receiver. And also availability issues with both Jeudy and Sutton here. So Okwuegbunam is in a really good spot here to be a red zone force. Again, they have a good running game with Javonte Williams and now Melvin Gordon still in the mix. So playing off that, Okwuegbunam could really have nice returns in the scoring department and also be a key target for Russell Wilson. Now, the problem has been with Wilson in Seattle, they haven't had a lot of notable tight ends there. I mean, you go back to people like Daniel Carlson and those type of players, there hasn't been a consistent source, but when he's had one in the Jimmy Graham vein, there've been some numbers there. So we've also seen to some degree with Will Disley and other options that have rolled through, including Greg Olsen. So Albert Okwuegbunam is his latest option there. And again, wide receiver disappointment there, I think, with Denver also makes me lean that Okwuegbunam is going to have a bigger role than anticipated. Again, different style of offense here where they're going to take advantage of the tight ends there. So we talked about Kmet and Okwuegbunam being in Packers-like offenses. Well, let's go to the actual Packers offense. And Robert Tonyan, he's ranked 17th here in half-point PPR at tight end. It is a little bit surprising. I mean, you have Devontae Adams gone. There's a lot of vacated targets. We know they did get Christian Watson in the draft. They also added Sammy Watkins, but that's not going to be enough to make up for what they've lost in Devontae Adams and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You also have Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard there, but Tonyan is going to be a key red zone target. He's coming off the major injury from last year, but they did bring him back. And there's also the trust factor established with Aaron Rodgers, where Watkins and Watson are trying to develop that to get trust to playing off Lazard and Cobb here. So Robert Tonyan also, what was he known for a couple years ago that got him on the fantasy football radar? The touchdowns, the double-digit scores. Adams was a double-digit scoring machine. They're going to need someone to replace that scoring here for Rodgers. That isn't just the running game with Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, the running game is going to have a big year. But again, playing off that running game, we've talked about the correlation between those positions, running back and tight end, and the production there from its particular team. And Robert Tonyan is a great position to do that here with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers in 2022. He should be fully healthy and good to go, and that's also some confidence we can have in him in fantasy football, rebounding to his previous best value just a couple years ago. All right, we will get more into our sleeper tight ends. We'll go a little bit deeper. We'll get into the 20s there in half-point PPR to find some good values there in our final segment. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer? Choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rockauto.com. You'll find prices that are reliably low for every customer. Just take the Honda Odyssey fuel pump. You could pay $353 at a chain store, but you would only pay $216 at Rock Auto. So that's an amazing savings there. They have everything you could need for whatever car you have. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Check it out. I have had many needs for my Honda Accord and my Ford C-Max. And they've taken care of the parts that I've needed every time. You can find out the parts that you need there at go to rockauto.com. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. See all the parts available for your car or truck by going to rockauto.com right now. Right locked onto their How'd You Hear Best box and they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Find them at rockauto.com. All right, it is time to close the show looking at three more sleepers based on the rankings. So let's get into it. David Njoku is ranked 20th here in half-point PPR. Why do I like David Njoku? Well, start with the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Now, if Watson has to miss time, it's not going to be Baker Mayfield, but Jacoby Brissett will be in there. Jacoby Brissett used to that Colts offense where tight ends have been involved. He also threw to the tight end quite a bit, Mike Gesicki with the Dolphins last year. So Njoku's in good shape either way. You don't have Austin Hooper in this mix. You have a limited receiving core where Donovan Peoples-Jones is your deep threat. Anthony Schwartz, also a big playmaker, away from Amari Cooper. Deshaun Watson, the value is going to boost Njoku here. He's a first-round pick. He's had that pedigree for a while. They used a franchise tag on him, so they realized his importance. Remember, he wanted out of Cleveland just a couple years ago after the Hooper move, but now he's established more as that number one for the first time, really, where they can trust him in that role downfield. He was misused in the previous offense with Freddie Kitchens and all that, so this is his time here. The tight end should be pretty valuable in Kevin Stefanski's offense here to produce. So I do like David Njoku playing off Watson with a quarterback upgrade. He has a lot of upside there at that position. The next player in the old Kevin Stefanski offense, now taken over by Kevin O'Connell of the Rams, moving over to the Vikings, is Irv Smith Jr. Tyler Conklin moved on in free agency. He had a nice year filling in for Irv Smith at times, had fantasy football value, but he's signed a free agent contract with the Jets. Irv Smith coming back strong from his injury here. Vikings didn't really invest highly at all in wide receiver, whether it's free agency or the draft here, so still stuck on their three guys with Justin Jefferson being the dominant number one, Adam Thielen fading a little bit as the number two, KJ Osborne having a little pretty good value there. But Irv Smith Jr. is going to be a big part of what they do. Kevin O'Connell, we know, going back to Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett there with the Rams, they were key. So, again, Irv Smith Jr. is a good target here late as a tight end, too, that has a little bit of tight end one upside for sure. The last guy is Gerald Everett. And speaking of Everett and the Rams, he had one disappointing year in Seattle, didn't quite work out in the Shane Waldron offense. He was formerly with the Rams as well. But now he goes to the Chargers. Why is this significant? He steps into the Jared Cook role, and he gets to play with Justin Herbert, playing off Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. So this is a really high upside situation, finally, for Everett. I didn't love the Seattle move just because he had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett established there. That offense was not really forcing a tight end. They really didn't change that much with Waldron taking over for Wilson last year. So, again, Everett is in a much better spot. They're going to use the tight end pretty well. in Los Angeles there. Herbert can get the ball to everyone across the field, so you get the quarterback upgrade as well. I think it's an upgrade from actually Wilson where he was to what you have with Herbert and the big arm playing off those receivers. So really good situation here for Gerald Everett in fantasy here to really exceed expectations here. So just a couple tips here when we wrap up the show and we look at the nine sleepers at tight ends. The way to find it, again, as we talked about it, being in that top three conversation for target, and you look at Njoku, certainly is there with Amari Cooper and Peoples-Jones is a target there. Maybe throwing the backs a little bit, and Njoku's a key target there. Irv Smith could be more involved than K.J. Osborne here with the right personnel moves for Minnesota, so that would put him right there with Jefferson. Thielen, Everett could be right there with Williams and Allen. So that's what we're looking for in a lot of these situations, or that potential, or in a right position to score touchdowns with what we saw with Henry and Tonyan. So importance to the offense, the kind of personnel team runs, kind of personnel team trusts, all very important in identifying sleeper tight ends and also avoiding the ones that you don't want to draft too high. And we'll get into nine of those there that are, have some red flags there that are probably a little bit overrated, overranked there. We'll do that on the next show. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now make Locked On NFL your second listen. The schedule's out, but we're still waiting for the season to come around in September. The NFL never stops, however. Neither does Locked On NFL, just like Locked On Fantasy Football. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 teams. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. This has been another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for checking out our ride at the sleeper tight ends. We'll look at the overrated tight ends next and potential busts in our next show. Have a great day, and see you tomorrow.